guys being dudes here on the Draft Dudes podcast presented by Locked On. It's Joe Marino, Kyle Krabs, and Chris Schuby, who's fighting a caffeine headache right now. And we are your hosts here on this live episode of Takes on Takes. Gentlemen, good evening. Kyle, what's up?
Little amateur, you started prematurely before the intro video was done.
Ended that up perfectly, and then I just got a little weaker, you know?
Yeah, you get a little excited. I don't blame me. You know, it's Takes on Takes. It's the night, the national championship night. We're getting ready to go. And Jalen Waddle plays football tonight. So I'm ready to rumble, man. It should be a good game. It's kind of a bummer with some of the Ohio State COVID cases. It'll hurt their defensive line quite a bit. But at least they're not playing Alabama, who averages like 350 pounds per offensive lineman across the front.
Christopher, good evening.
Good evening, gentlemen. I hope everybody had a fantastic day. When we recorded the show this morning, we were like, oh, you know, join us for Takes on Takes. We'll probably have a lot of Deshaun Watson talk to discuss. And then the NFL news cycle was like, nah, 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 here you go, guys. Let's give you something else to talk about.
Dougie P's gone.
So with that in mind, do you want to just get right into it?
I kind of do.
Okay, so we'll go here first because I think this is a very good take from Braden. Take, the Lions is officially a better job than the Eagles and Texans after the news from the last week and today for a head coaching candidate.
Joe's getting the poop hat. I know it.
Now, Joe, where is the poop hat? You know, I don't want to go too behind the curtains, but you're moving. So I don't know if you know where it is.
I'm not exactly sure where anything is, but I found the approval, Morocco.
Oh, he's in.
Yeah, love this take. You want to know why? Because the Eagles – let me back up. It blows my mind that billion-dollar operations, NFL football teams, allow cancers to spread in their facilities, and it's based off of one guy. In Houston, you've got Jack Easterby. In Philly, you have Howie Rosen. And these guys are counterproductive in building sustained winners. And they are ruining these organizations. And so you don't want to go somewhere that has a rat like that in place. So, yeah, I would, if I was a potential head coaching candidate, I would want nothing to do with the Eagles and I want nothing to do with the Houston Texans because they have those two guys in place.
I can tell you from perspective of reading the timeline, there's a lot of, oh, you know, Doug Peterson's kind of weird for not wanting people to tell him what to do. And Deshaun Watson's disgruntled because he doesn't get input on who the head coach is of the Houston Texans. But like, aren't those kind of red flags for the organizations just as much, if not more, than what they are for Doug Peterson, the head coach, a Super Bowl winning head coach who won in Philadelphia, like an impossible thing to do, win a Super Bowl with the Philadelphia Eagles. He did it with a backup quarterback. Mm-hmm. And Deshaun Watson, who is one of the top three, top five quarterbacks in the NFL. Like if those guys are like putting their foot down and they're like, yo, something's wrong here. Like I have a real hard time just ignoring that and just giving Philadelphia and Howie Roseman and Jack Easterby and the Houston Texans, the benefit of the doubt. So I'm kind of on board with this take, especially if Deshaun Watson gets traded from Houston, in which case I'm absolutely positively on board that this is a good take from Braden.
The Bills had a snake like this. His name was Russ Brandon.
Get rid Never of Russ even Brandon. Heard
of him. Well, Bills Mafia's heard of him and he's gone and things are different. You got to get these guys like this. Who's the guy? Allen in Washington. There's Bruce these Allen. Guys. Yeah. Bruce Allen. There's these guys throughout the league that are just, you can't associate yourself with them because they're going to ruin your franchise. And so I'm worried that we have a couple of those in Houston and Philly.
All right. We got one from Bill here. The Giants' biggest need is a plus size playmaker on offense. That's why Kyle Pitts has to be the pick at 11. Sounds like he's teasing a news story on the local nightly news.
What's wrong with Evan Ingram? I know he's in a contract here, but
he's always hurt and drops too many passes.
Okay, well, then you go from there. Who's rushing the passer in New York?
Marcus Golden, Kyler Fackrell. I mean, are these their guys?
Pretty sure Marcus Golden.
Yeah, Marcus Golden's back with the Cardinals. He's not
who's
there.
The guy just like Marcus Golden that they have? Come on.
Well, they had Marcus Golden, and then he left.
Let me pull up the Giants picture.
You're thinking of O'Shane Zimenez.
Yeah, they have O'Shane Zimenez.
Yeah. Guy.
It escapes me, and if I open up a browser, my computer's going to overload. So,
I pulled up the depth chart for you. Blake Martinez,
No, he's
off-ball.
Dexter Lawrence, Dalvin Tomlinson, Leonard Williams. I'm just naming guys on defense.
Who's the corner opposite of James Bradbury?
The corner opposite James Bradbury, according to this, is Darnay Holmes.
Who is was a rookie this year out of UCLA, mid-round pick. I think he'll be a very good nickel. But I don't – I think the Giants have – wasn't Darius Slayton supposed to be like a reasonably – like there was hype around Darius Slayton because he had like three good games his rookie season?
He had an okay year this year.
He was fine this year.
He was fine.
Sterling Shepard was hurt, and when Shepard's up there, he's usually fine.
Yeah, Sterling Shepard when healthy is fine, but –
I think there needs to be this realization that Evan Ingram's not that bad of a football player. Like, I know he dropped passes, but, like, he is a difference maker for this team.
I look at the Giants roster, and the upgrade from Evan Ingram to Kyle Pitts, I don't think is where you could make the biggest improvement on your roster. So I'm out.
Are you in on a playmaker, though, with size? I mean, would you like Terrace Marshall for them? Jamar Chase.
I can get on board with skill player being the pick.
Because I think that defense, I know that good pass rushers don't grow on trees, right? I mean, John Gruden will tell you that. But I'm starting to become more inclined to thinking that they do need to get some help on offense more than defense in the draft, at least with their first pick. I know there's other ways to improve the team and all that, but.
The comments would like us to know that Evan Ingram stinks slash sucks.
Okay.
Pro bowler. He made it over Robert Tonyan.
Over Robert Tonyan?
Yeah.
You're kidding.
No. Well, Tonyan had like 10 touchdowns this year. Evan Ingram had like identical stats and one touchdown and you made the Pro Bowl.
Are we ready for some football? The NFL playoffs are in full swing. And there is only one place that has you covered and one place that we trust, and that's betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use our promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus. Maybe you want to lay some cash down on your favorite team to advance in the playoffs, or you like some of the fun prop bets that they have. You got to check out betonline.ag because they have the best lines in the business. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. And don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
This take from Sam. Recency bias is making everybody sleep on Trey Lance, who will still go in the top 8 or 9 picks.
I think that my expectation is for him to go there. I think the reservation with Trey Lance is that we've kind of learned a lot about sample size entering the NFL and like having a certain amount of reps matter. And the guy throwing 318 passes at North Dakota State, he's been a 1-year starter, you know, and I feel like it's easy to gravitate towards Lawrence, Fields, and Wilson, who have a much more extensive resume, but also being mindful that Lance is really exciting in terms of his traits and that he's a worthwhile potential top 10 pick. But your opportunity to get dividends out of him, I think, is a year or two away.
I think that's perfectly reasonable, Joe. My expectation is top half of the first round for Trey Lance. I don't know about top 8, but top 16, yes.
This one here from rfritz901. Curtis Samuel will be more sought after this offseason than Juju Smith-Schuster.
Ooh.
I don't know if I agree with it, but I like the take.
How do we measure this? Is it the contract that they ultimately sign? The
annual average salary. Do you know what Juju Smith-Schuster averaged per catch this year, by the way?
9 yards.
It's like 8.6 yards or something.
I mean, you see that off. Ben got it out in like 2.3 seconds. It was the most ridiculous offense I've ever seen.
Have you guys seen the list of free agent wide receivers this offseason?
Very good. As
somebody whose team is in offseason mode and who needs a wide receiver and has cap space, that's what I spent my day doing today, probably why I have the migraine that I have. And it's a pretty good list, guys. It's a pretty good list. Allen Robinson, Kenny Galladay, Juju Smith-Schuster, Chris Godwin, Corey Davis, Will Fuller, Antonio Brown, Marvin Jones, Curtis Samuel, T.Y. Hilton, Rashard Higgins, A.J. Green, just to name a few.
Why'd you put AJ Green in there?
I just read, I was looking at a story and they listed 12 and he was on the list.
I think I like Curtis Samuel, right? I think he's gotten progressively better throughout his career. And he came from a weird starting point where at Ohio State, he was like a running back wide receiver hybrid. So it doesn't surprise me that it kind of took a little bit of time for him to really kind of come into his own in the NFL. And I do think him being part of that spread offense in Carolina probably helped him a good bit this year. But I don't know, Juju's really got not productive for his career. And I think that teams may look at Samuel as more of a niche player, and they might think that Juju's a bit more of a complete player, and they're both extremely young. I think Juju's going to get more.
I agree that Juju will probably get more because his production is more consistent across the board, and he's more plug-and-play, if you will, right? He's more straightforward. But speaking of Pittsburgh wide receivers, did you guys hear what Chase Claypool had to say about the Browns?
What a terrible double down by Chase Claypool.
These Pittsburgh wide receivers, man, they just keep digging the grave.
And for those of you who maybe didn't hear, Chase Claypool, I said something, I'm going to paraphrase it, that, yeah, the Browns won this game, but they're going to get, what was the term, clapped?
They're going to get clapped next week.
Thanks.
After Pittsburgh lost to Cleveland, he says, yeah, that team that just beat the shit out of us and scored 48 on us is going to go get clapped by Kansas City next week.
Say less.
Yes.
Specifically after you lost. Like, just be quiet.
Yeah. What is, I think this is a Belichick saying, when you lose, say little. When you win, say even less.
I don't know. I'm sure every
That sounds very Belichick.
Totalitarian coach in the history of football has said that at some point. That's a Parcellsian thing, right. 1,000,000%.
All right, this take from Vontel: Pete Carroll and Mike Tomlin will not be the head coaches of their teams after 2022.
Stop it,
Vontel. Joe, can I share the poop hat? Can you grab it for me?
Where's the poop hat?
I don't know, but I think half of this is true.
Is it because of Pete's age?
Maybe, and I think I've been trying to tell you that Pete Carroll's an extremely overrated head coach.
Stop.
I don't think he's a great head coach, but like, are they going to get better than Pete Carroll?
Correct. What is the greener grass on the other side of the fence from Pete Carroll with his resume? You're asking me to fire Pete Carroll? Quit asking.
I'd be willing to find out. If I'm Seattle, I'd be willing to find out. The guy's got too much of a say in personnel. I think he's a little bit dated. I think he's held back this team.
Should be really anticlimactic.
I'm not going to.
There it is.
Quit asking.
Thank you.
Sorry, I had the board open, and then an ad popped up, and I couldn't hit the button.
I heard a little something click in my ear, and I said, man, that was supposed to be it. I could tell. And it just didn't looked fire. Up from the soundboard, and it wasn't there.
My apologies. Right. Yeah, sorry. Okay, let's find another one here for you guys. This one from Elite14754. People are overhyping Zach Wilson, and he will go closer to pick 12 than pick 3. He's going to pick 2, so.
What you got on this one, Kyle?
I think 3 quarterbacks go in the top 4. As things stand currently right now. And I don't think Zach Wilson's going to be QB4. So as a result, I'm out on this take. I'm all the way out on this take.
I think maybe there's some truth to him being overhyped, but I still think he's going in the top 4.
Okay. This take from... Oh, what is this take? This is fun. Okay, I'm just here to anger the two gentlemen in the boxes above me. This one from Nicholas. Mac Jones is a better prospect than Tua, runs the offense better, and pushes the ball down the field with more accuracy.
He's really looking for the poop hat now, you can tell. There's a saying in football about slow feet, Joe. What is it?
Slow feet get you killed.
No, slow feet don't eat. Oh. Slow feet don't eat. Mac Jones has heavy, slow feet. And when the speed of the game, when your process has to be quick, Mac Jones, he's got at least a little bit of a long strider. He pushes the ball down the field. Lovely. He's got a lot of deep bucket throws down the middle of the field. But as far as accuracy, consistency with his accuracy and hitting guys in stride and even some of the anticipation stuff beyond vertical throws, I'm all the way out. Mac Jones is probably going to be a mid-day two quarterback as far as I'm concerned, just watching him. But, yeah, I'm out. All the way out.
Joe, how did you lose the poop hat?
Listen, I'm telling you. My mother-in-law has been here helping me pack, you know, I had a headache myself last Sunday and I went to go find some aspirin and they packed all of that, not thinking that in the next 10 days, we might need an aspirin before.
I'm just glad you got the mattress out of your room.
You know what? I hauled
that thing off the podcast today. Joe had mattress propped up in the back, hanging up against the wall.
I did that at the last second. It just left the room. If you open that door, you will see the mattress.
Come crashing back in.
Right.
All right, this take from Nick here. The Lions should go one more year with Stafford and try and invest in the defense, then trade him in 2022 when it makes more sense financially.
Bird in hand's better than two in the bush. If there's a reasonable offer right now, I'm taking it. You go ahead and rip the Band-Aid off. You got a new coach, new GM coming in. If you're going to trade him in 2022 and you're going into this year, he's going to have basically an entire new receiving core. You have so many questions on defense, like, get him out of there if the plan is to trade him next year. If you're going to keep him, then keep him, like, indefinitely.
Yeah, I feel like if you keep him, all you're doing is prolonging the process of your rebuild, right? And it's unnecessarily a year longer than it has to be as far as having optimal flexibility. And Detroit has to rebuild. There's no option to not rebuild in Detroit. So I would want to move sooner rather than later. I'd rather trade a guy a year too early than a year too late in this scenario.
Yeah.
All right, this one from Sam. The Pittsburgh Steelers should trade/cut as many big contracts on offense as possible, including Ben, and retool that unit over the next 2 years.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and trade a two for Sam Darnold.
Ben, I mean, they can save like $20 million, right? They're going to have $20 million in dead cap, but there's clear
$22 million in money that they cannot move. That is immovable. It's like $22 million right, that they're stuck
if
with.
If you keep them, then you're on the hook for like plus like 42 or something like that, right?
It's like 41.25, right. I believe, yes.
You see this guy's arm? Man, he's done. He's done. They had to get him in this offense where he got the ball out of his hands as quickly as possible. And he doesn't have the ability to throw the ball down the field anymore. Like you have to have some type of threat in the passing game in terms of the spacing of the field, or else it's just too easy to play defense. And you can't do that with Ben.
As somebody whose offense played in the 10-yard box all season, I can confirm that to be fact.
And right. Kyle, I don't think that's a two thing, because that's what you said about Chan when he was in Buffalo. It's just too tight. And so his answer was, we'll take CJ Spiller with top 10 pick, and that'll help us space the offense. And we saw that went.
Well, I think it was more of a skill player issue than anything else, because they just didn't have the horses to do anything else.
But he had his in Buffalo, Donald Jones, Stevie Johnson, David Nelson, Scott Chandler. I know Stevie Johnson had his production because he's like this possession style receiver that had great chemistry with Fitz, but like those are not dynamic players. Like those are all like UDFAs and seventh round picks.
Which is weird that that's kind of the wagon Chan Gailey's hitched his entire career as a play caller to, because he was like that in Buffalo. It was like that in New York when he had like Decker and Brandon Marshall, you know, two guys with size who were older and not as explosive as they were in their prime.
Right.
And then Preston Williams and Devontae Parker in Miami. It's so weird.
You actually had some like dynamic playmakers that can create separation and create after the catch and like create some space for themselves instead of asking guys that can't do that to do that. RockAuto.com is a family business that's been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They've got everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices that you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why would you spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Make sure you write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. They have amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need over at rockauto.com.
All right, this take from Cajun Flame. Doug Peterson will be the first new head coach hired this cycle.
Hired. He thinks he's a shoe-in for the Jets job. That's what I think
he thinks. Yeah, I was going to say, where he must be going to New York for the Jets then.
I don't know. I think Doug Peterson over the last 2 years of, you know, I'm not going to say I'm dialed in completely with the Eagles, but I pay close attention. I feel like he's been a grumpy old man for 2 years now.
You would be too if you worked in the Philadelphia media.
And he...
So the New York media is going to be better for him?
Well, that's why he's probably not going to New York. But
I am super bothered by how much this offense declined ever since Frank Reich and John DeFilippo left the building. That bugs me.
And the structure was bad, too. It wasn't just like, oh, the players aren't as good as what they were in the Super Bowl run. Like this, everything was sloppy.
Yeah.
So I don't think he's the first coach hired. No, I think Urban Meyer's the first coach hired.
Because it's the shoe-in, right? They're even talking to other guys. All we're hearing about is Con and Meyer enjoying their time together on a yacht. Right, you know,
on a boat, smoking cigars, having a good old time. What? Yeah.
To answer a question in the chat, no, I do not want Braden asked me if I wanted Doug Peterson. No, thank you. And here's why. It would be extremely disappointing for the Jets to go through what has been a very well thought out and I think well run process to interview every potential outside candidate for this job, for them to ultimately just to scrap all of that work to turn around and hire a guy that Joe Douglas was friends with in Philadelphia because they worked together. I would be pretty upset if that's the way that they went.
Who'd they interview today? Aaron Glenn?
Aaron Glenn was interviewed today, and I believe they had an interview with Arthur Smith today.
So, Chris, who are your three finalists that you would most like to see get the job in New York? Now, I know we talked about this a little bit last week, but like now the whole process effectively haven't been played through.
I will continue to stand as my number one option, and this was a surprise when I said it at the time. It's still Matt Eberflus would be my number one. Arthur Smith is my number two, and then Brian Daboll would be my number three. Eric Bieniemy, guys, at some point, the stories that keep coming out that he's not interviewing well and that he wants to wait for the right job, it just makes me think he's not going to get hired this cycle. It's nothing against Eric Bieniemy, but it's just like the more these stories come out, the more I just don't think he's taking any of these jobs.
Yeah, I think if there is one candidate who gets shut out again, it feels like it will be Bieniemy, unfortunately.
I really love what Eberflus has been able to get out of players that didn't perform well previously in their career. Look at like TJ Carey had like a career year there at corner for them. Danico Autry is all of a sudden a meaningful player for that defense.
Xavier Rhodes, we thought he was cooked.
Desir, yeah, it's another good call. Yeah,
but he was the year prior. He was not this year.
Still on, you know, I just feel like there's a long list of those guys, and it's just like eventually you have to realize that they've got some really exceptional coaching on the defensive side of the football and on offense, but especially on defense, they're so sound. And I think, I mean, I don't know that that means great head coach, right? But I'm really impressed with what he's been able to do with the Colts defense.
Can you put Kyle the Commish's most recent comment?
Kyle the Commish's most recent comment.
It was right at 7:54. It's the second most recent comment in the chat.
This one?
Yeah. Something makes me think Arthur Smith is going to flop as a coach. Not sure why. I don't have a good reason, just a feeling. I kind of agree. And the reason being, and Joe, you let me know what you think here, because that's why I wanted Chris to put this up so you could chime in here. The way the offense works in Tennessee, you have to have very specific personnel to make that engine work the way that it does. And I do think that's a little bit more difficult to replicate than a lot of the other things that you see in other offenses across the league.
Absolutely. I'm 100% on that. And that's, I think I said a few weeks ago, like I know what he can do in Tennessee with what he has in Tennessee, but I don't know that I would even want to try to replicate that somewhere else. You know, Derrick Henry, play action, Tannehill, kind of the right quarterback to be the trigger man. Corey Davis and A.J. Brown are really good players. They have a full complement of tight ends that they get involved. It just seems like a lot of pieces have to be together for it to work. It's the only place he's ever been is Tennessee. You know, I'd be hesitant there, but he's obviously attractive. I mean, he's interviewed for all the openings except for Philly, obviously.
And schematically, he's done a lot of great stuff. It's just that's, you know, I kind of get that same, just like a little bit of hesitancy where it's like, well, yeah, it's going to be really hard to replicate because every team comes out and says, oh, we want to run the ball and play action pass. And, but like to run the ball to the degree in which, which Tennessee does to set everything else up is a tough case to replicate.
That'd be the worst line. If I was a GM and I'm interviewing to be my head coach, I would say, what do you envision for this offense? Well, we're going to run the ball and we're going to run play action. I'd be like, get the hell out of here. I want dynamic spread, right? Like I want multiple playmakers on the field that you can get the football into their hands, create spacing issues horizontally and vertically. Like I want to hear that we are going to be a pass aggressive team in neutral game scripts.
No wonder you don't like Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll came out today and said the Seahawks' objective for 2021 is to run the ball more.
Frick out of here with that mess. Now, your objective is to be average then.
To be fair, I think from Seattle's point of view, the objective with running the football is to make sure that you get more single high safety looks. Can we get into that real quick? Because that's the true value of running the foot, like play action. Like it doesn't matter if your running game is actually working or not for play action to be effective. Right. So where does establish the run? Like if that was going to be a thing, like where would that come into play? It gets into run fits and safeties having to come down into the box. And when you have a quarterback with DK Metcalf who can get vertical, you know, and you want to play a single high post safety, you want that middle of the field closed to attack the boundary as much as possible. And if you have split safety coverages because you can't run the football, it's going to be tougher to get vertical and take shots over the top.
Can we talk about 10 personnel and what that does for your coverage spacing?
Yeah.
Anyways,
go ahead.
No, I think more teams need to do that because the spacing, I'm watching it with Josh Allen, 10 personnel, 30, 40% of the time. And this guy's got all the space in the world to work with. And it doesn't matter if you run zone or man, he's got answers for it. And get yourself a back that can pass protect and go to town, like spread the field, throw it around the yard, man.
But that only works with certain style of quarterbacks.
Right.
Because
but Russ is that style of quarterback.
He is. Yes. Russ is that style of quarterback. Absolutely. Josh Allen's that style of quarterback. Patrick Mahomes is that quarterbacks who can extend and throw to all levels of the field, all areas of the field, regardless of what their platform is. Those are the difference makers, Joe, that you talked about on Monday's show. You know, that matter. They make a big difference. And when you leave six in protection and they bring seven, and you know, you're going to have man concepts or you're going to have spacing because you've spread the field to be able to extend plays, fade away from the line of scrimmage, and still get a ball out with velocity is paramount.
So the question is, like, do you embrace an unrelenting pursuit of that type of player that can do that at quarterback? Or do you say, yeah, it's more likely for us to do something else and we need these ingredients for that something else to work? I don't know.
Well, the alternative is the Drew Brees attempt. The alternative is the Drew Brees model.
Right.
And Drew gets clowned on for dinking and dunking and just check downs to Kamara all the time. But like, if you get pressure, just get it out underneath and take your profits and can't go broke taking a profit.
I am admittedly biased based on watching 2020 Bills. It skewed my perspective.
You should be.
Well, and I should take a moment to appreciate how difficult that is to replicate. But, man, it's way better than just traditional try to move the chains and take
control. A lot of what Buffalo does as far as a lot of their pre-snap stuff, I think, is what's most impressive. I think Orlovsky did a video from week 17. Did you get a chance to see that? Mm-hmm. It was the touchdown to go up 28-3 or 28-6 or whatever it was right before 28. It was touchdown to go up 28-6 right before half. And it was the pre-snap motion with the back, the insert from the motion, knowing what the coverage rules were based on the tendencies of the Dolphins defense and going zero. And that level of nuance, like, you still have to have that level of layers to what you're doing from a protection perspective, a route combination perspective, identifying what's happening, what the defense is going to do in order to have that click. Because if you just go out there and you run 10, somebody's going to run free, or you're going to get lit up, you know, like they're going to sit on your throws.
The Seahawks season got derailed whenever Chris Carson got healthy.
Ooh, I hadn't thought of it like that.
What's the difference? He got healthy and ruined the team because they had to get him the ball.
You think he stays?
Carson? Seattle?
Yeah, you think he stays? He's a free agent this year.
If they pay him, I mean, that dude, I don't think he has a lot of leverage. I mean, just based on his injury history. Like, we know he's really good when he's healthy, but I don't know. There's a lot of other – okay, I'm never going to pay Chris Carson. You know that, but I'm especially not going to pay an injured physical downhill back.
Chris, anything in the comments popping off?
So this is very timely, and I think we need to settle this debate because I can make a case for either side, and it's not football related. Sam wants to know, take, packing up is more fun than unpacking. Joe, your thoughts?
I hope not. Because I got the unpacking phase starting on Thursday. So I'll tell you, that if I can give you any advice right now, just like start throwing your shit out. Right? You know what I mean? Like start going through it. I got 10 years worth of crap in this house. You know what I mean? And
that thing you put off in the corner, you think I'll be glad I have that down the road. No, you won't. Just get rid of it now.
Get rid of it right now. The stuff that I hold up into my attic over the years, really just had a great time over the last 2 weeks, just throwing it all out, you know? It was this holding place up there. It was, what is the word with a P? Come on, you know this word where it's a holding place? Doggone, purgatory?
Yeah,
it purgatory. Was,
sure, okay.
Purgatory of junk.
Yeah, that's what my attic was, and then I just spent 2 weeks throwing it all out, so.
All right, how many more you guys want? Because there's a lot in the queue here.
You need
one more.
We got kickoff here coming up, don't we?
Yep.
All right.
Coming up.
All right. Here we go. This is the one we're going to go with here.
No pressure, Chris.
Justin Fields can solidify QB2 beyond doubt tonight.
Yeah, due to Alabama, what you just did to Clemson. There you go.
Be it.
Give us another one. That was quick.
Okay, fine. You asked for one more, I'll give you one more. All right, this one from Rahul. Assuming Phillip Rivers retires, Jacob Eason is more likely to be the Colts starting quarterback in 2021 than another quarterback, Sam Darnold, Dak, et cetera.
That's disappointing to me. I mean, you just showed your ability to trade a first-round pick for DeForest Buckner and what that turned into for your football team. You have cap space. There's no way you roll into this thing with Jacob Eason.
It's a playoff contending roster. Outside of quarterback, if it's Jacob Eason,
you convince Philip Rivers to stay. If you're gonna roll with Eason,
yeah, I'm all the way out on that take too.
Poop hat.
So
if you can find it, you know what? No, the poop hat's gone until you can find it again. You're not allowed to even reference it.
He's gonna go digging one more time through his pile of junk off to the side. We're done here.
Well, hold on. I want to make one quick note. This is what happens when you don't oversee the moving process, right? For 2 minutes, if you turn your back and somebody packs stuff up for you, when you get to the new place, you don't know where it is.
It's going to be in a box with your kitchen, like.
Yeah, you're never going to know where that thing is, Joe. You're never finding it.
Spoons and plates. It's going to be the poop hats. It's going to be sitting in there with all that stuff in the kitchen box.
Somebody packed up the poop hat. They left all this crap around me, but the poop hat's gone. I got the approval maraca.
I hate to see it.
I got the mini sombrero. You know what I mean?
So we're done here. Natty tonight. Enjoy it if you tuned in live. Thanks for checking in. If you're listening on the podcast feed, come back on Wednesday. We got a week full of great content coming up. You are going to want to make sure you don't miss it. Kyle Krabs, Joe Marino, Chris, Shuby Schubert. Thanks as always for listening / watching the Draftees podcast.